Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
There have been a number of great television producers in this town. I cannot at the moment think of anyone greater than my pal John Davies, who sort of, I thought you were leaving the business, John. I thought you were getting out of the business.
You know, I gave it a try.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you hear in the article after article, there's only so many rounds of golf you can play, only so many old friends you can go visit. And then the phone started ringing again, and
sure,
I got back into it.
Well, you're coming to Chicago. You're coming to Chicago on, maybe a little few days before, but on Saturday the 21st at 12:30 at the Chicago History Museum at North Avenue and Clark Street, you are going to screen what I have always considered. It's the 15th anniversary of a movie called Funny Business, spelled P-H-U-N-N-Y, Business, a black comedy. John, how did you come upon this story? It basically was a revelation in showing that there was a huge and important comedy scene involving blacks in this town that even some of the big shots at Second City had never even heard of or knew about. How did you find this story?
I wish I could tell you I came upon it myself, but I didn't. I had moved to Los Angeles from Chicago, and I was a producing partner with Bob Zemuda.
Oh, my God, sure.
Your show,
sure.
Who was one of the legendary creators of comic relief. He'd also been Andy Kaufman's comedy writer for a while. And Bob and I began producing other comic relief events that were not on HBO.
Yeah.
And so, because HBO was only running the show once every 3 years, and
yeah,
Bob felt it should be out there more often.
Sure.
So he said, John, why don't you come to Chicago with me? We're doing an event at this club called All Jokes Aside with Sinbad and Vanna White. I said, what? And he said, yeah, Sinbad's going to do the entertaining, and Vanna White will be handing out Serta Sleeper mattresses, which she was endorsing at the time,
right,
to underprivileged kids and families. So I said, sounds crazy, Bob, but I'll do it.
Yeah.
So I went there, and Bob and I ended up performing a little bit with Sinbad.
Mm-hmm.
We both are old hams.
Sure.
We met Vanna White, who turned out to be just the loveliest person. I can't tell you how great she was, but she was wearing a white fur coat and handing out these Serta Sleeper mattresses.
Oh, fantastic.
Anyway, at that event that day, at this club, which was mostly populated that day by black Chicagoans.
Sure.
The owner, Raymond Lambert, came to me and said, hey, John, would you like to see the club in action doing what it really does tonight?
Wow.
I could give you two
wow.
tickets.
Yeah.
And I said, sure. So I went back that night to watch what was going on in that club, and I was blown away how good these comedians were. And as you can imagine, being the only white guy in the club, they took me apart.
Yeah. Well, that happened to me, too, when I was, the comedy, so-called comedy critic for the Tribune. I got the same deal. But this place, you must have, people like Cedric the Entertainer, Steve Harvey, Chris Rock, Bernie Mac, D.L. Hewley, Monique, Dave Chappelle, it was a, for the mainstream Chicago, this was a secret, wasn't it?
It was. It was a star factory.
Yeah.
And nobody really knew about it. And by the way, it predated Death Comedy Jam on HBO.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I went that night, and I was so blown away by it. I went out for a drink with Ray afterwards, and I said, oh, Ray, this is such a fantastic thing. You know, I want to do something with you. I don't know what. So flash forward a few years, I run into Ray in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, hey, how's the club going? And he says, oh, John, it's a sad story.
Yeah.
We're belly up. We're done. And he told me the story, and I said, Ray, I'm going to make a doc about it. I know you hear that probably from people,
sure,
but I will
sure.
do it. And it took me 3 years,
mm-hmm.
but Ray and I got it done. We took on a partner named Reed Brody, who at the time was running the largest post-production facility in Chicago, and he donated all of the equipment and gear.
Mm.
We took on a young guy named Brian Callies, who was a great shooter and editor. And we spent 3 years in a room making that film, and we made it for a nickel.
Yeah,
but because I had so much support from technical people in Chicago, it looks like $1 million.
Well, that's because Roger Ebert called it. Roger Ebert, who was still alive then, called it one of the year's best documentaries. It got rave reviews all over the place. I found it to be just a bit of a revelation after another. I remember, tell me I'm wrong, John Davies, the producer and director of this film, that Tim Kazurinsky, who was a big deal and a nice, terrific person and a big deal at Second City and later in movies and Saturday Night Live, he, and a big deal on the comedy scene in Chicago, this place, all jokes aside, came as a huge surprise to him, didn't it?
It did to him and to every other person of note.
Yep.
Obviously, white person of note in Chicago in the world of comedy.
Yeah.
Didn't know about it. You know, Tim was appalled that here it was only 2 miles south of Second City.
Yeah.
And he'd never heard of it.
Unbelievable. I'm on the phone.
But that all changed when Showtime.
Yep.
You know, I ended up cutting the first 10 minutes of the movie, and I flew back to L.A., and I showed it to my then-friend, Perlina Igbokwe, at Showtime. She's now running Universal Studios. She's an incredibly talented woman. I showed her the first 10 minutes, and then it went to black, and she said, "Oh, my God, I want to see the rest of this."
Mm.
And I said, "Well, that's going to cost you." And so they wrote us a check to finish the film. Showtime did, and it premiered on Showtime as part of Black History Month. And I love the promo that they did for it, because the promo said, "So you think you know everything there is to know about comedy? Guess what? You don't."
Amazing. Amazing.
That's what the film was, the guess what you don't moment.
No kidding. I'm on the phone with my old friend, John Davies, who now lives and works in Santa Barbara. He's coming to town Saturday, February 21st, and we'll be at the Chicago History Museum. We'll take a little break and come back and talk more about this film, which is, yeah, everybody talk to you. I mean, that's one of the things, and Ray Lambert, who I got to know after the club sadly had to close, is a very, very bright, interesting guy. And what he did with this club, I think it certainly enriched part of Chicago in a very sad but important way. Funny Business, A Black Comedy, is a tale of two cities, one Chicago. Follows and captures the goings-on at a place called All Jokes Aside, which was John Davies, the producer, director, and everything else with this film. It was culturally and in the entertainment community, this is as important a club as ever been in Chicago. I know we have Second City. I know there's Mr. Kelly's. I know all that stuff. All Jokes Aside was indescribably important, was it not?
Oh, definitely. I'm glad you mentioned the Mr. Kelly's,
yeah,
because I saw that documentary recently, and I know David Marienthal, and he did a great, great job. I know he was somewhat inspired by Funny Business, but I'm glad to have that club recorded, too, because that was another significant club. But yes, all jokes aside, was very, very significant. Everybody in L.A. understood that, which is why Showtime came after.
Sure.
And you know, the thing was, it predated HBO's highly successful Def Comedy
Jam,
our film did,
yep,
by about a year. And then pretty soon Ray's Club is blowing up because white Americans are discovering all these amazing black comics on Def Comedy Jam. And they're realizing, hey, they're playing right down the street here in Chicago.
Yeah.
And all jokes aside.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden Ray's Club is packed. It's doing great. I won't get into the reason it went belly up, but it had something to do with race and politics, as you can imagine.
Yes, of course. Well, this is Chicago, John Davies. This is Chicago. You know, the funny thing is, Mr. Kelly's interesting you bring that up, because for so long in this town was a racist town. I mean, it was hard for blacks to have dinner at a downtown restaurant, for goodness sake. And I think, oh, was it Dick Gregory? Dick Gregory may have broken the color line at the Playboy Club when he was booked to perform there. But all jokes aside, it is just, and the movies, the movie also is really great, John. You know, I admire your work as a movie maker, and the one of the great things about it is when you went to these comics, many of whom had since become pretty famous, and you know, with guards and layers of protection. They all were eager to talk to you, weren't they?
They were, because, as we say in the film, Ray ran his club in a very unique fashion for comedy club owners. He actually paid comedians what he told them he was going to pay them, whether or not they had a full house or not. If he said he's paying X, he paid X.
Yeah.
He paid them in a timely manner, and they were treated with a great deal of respect, and the club was run very professionally.
Ray's background is an interesting background, too. What is he doing now, John? He's going to be with you at the Chicago History Museum on February 21st, Saturday the 21st at, I'm going to say, noon, so you can get in. The movie is free. You do have to register to link below, but just go to Chicago History Museum. It's very easy, chicagohistory.org, and you'll be able to find this. What's he doing now, John?
He is still trying to get films made.
Yep.
I know he partnered with Kartemquin.
Oh, wow, good.
And they have helped. They've put him on some of the films that they were trying to get done, and I know they've helped him with one or two that he was trying to get done. I don't know if that's his main job now.
Mm-hmm.
He always, you know, Ray is a money guy.
Yeah,
and I know he's helped run many things, including his wife's company. I don't know if that's his sole source of income, filmmaker, but it's one of them. And so he's, you know, he got the bug. He got the film bug. So he wanted to make some of his own things. Brian and I ended up going back to Hollywood. We've made 7 movies together, Brian Cowies and I.
Wow. Since then, did he help make, remind me of your fascinating and fun but also sad movie about Illinois politics?
Lincoln is Crying was our movie about the grifters, grafters, and governors of Illinois.
Wow.
We're very proud of ourselves because Fox offered us some money for that, and we said no.
Good for you. Well, good for you.
Yeah, we didn't want to help. But we do believe that one of the reasons so many people on the right like it is because we went after so many politicians in Chicago who just happen to be Democrat feeds.
Yeah.
And well, because the Democrats have controlled everything for so long, they've had more opportunity to steal. But anyway, you know, we're very great. We're very grateful. Every 6 months, Brian and I reshow Lincoln is Crying, and we have to update the lower thirds, the graphics. So it goes from under indictment to convicted.
Yeah, or under indictment, convicted, in jail, out of jail. It's a story that keeps on. It's a story. The corruption in Illinois just keeps on giving, John. Keeps on giving.
The film is still relevant, you know. And now that Burke and Madigan both went down.
Sure.
But by the way,
yes.
You know, after stealing for years, they finally get caught, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. But anyway, so we're very proud of that film. And I think, as you probably noticed, Rick, and you wrote about it, we did that film with a sense of humor, too.
Sure.
Because we just feel that we're best qualified telling these serious stories in an entertaining, funny way so that people will stay for the whole thing.
Well, don't you believe, John, you've done this on a different level than I have, certainly for many, many years. But one of the most effective ways to deliver a serious topic is to make it entertaining, that the entertainment gives the entree into someone's head instead of, you know, people being predisposed for some kind of heavy lift.
Well, you know, I grew up in Wheaton with the Belushis.
Yeah.
And Jim Belushi took me to Second City when I was a very young man.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going into that place. And when I came out, I remember thinking, whatever this is, whatever I just saw there, I have got to find a way to be a part of this.
Mm.
And I've done it my own little minor way with these films I've done. You know, I also had a company with Jim for 10 years. And
wow.
We made short films for every cable network out there. But I love Second City. They did inspire me. And they're the ones where I realized, hey, you can take on serious stuff And if you do it with a sense of humor, it'll last a lot longer in people's minds.
It's funny. I see Jim socially every once in a while, but I was delighted to see him in that new film, Song Sung Blue. I was delighted and flabbergasted. Have you seen the movie?
I have seen it. I texted him right away.
Yeah.
I'm so proud that he's taking roles because, you know, now he's taking roles that he really thinks are meaty and he loves.
Right.
And he's not chasing, you know, his name and lights anymore or big paychecks. He's chasing high-quality work, and he's delivering.
Well, the other thing, he can afford to do that because he's a genius marijuana entrepreneur, too. I mean, he's having some life. Are you going to be in town for a lot of days, John, or are you just coming in for the one Saturday, February 21st?
I'm coming in for a week, then I'm going back to California, but then I will be in Chicago for about 4 or 5 months during the summer. And also, to wrap up, can I just, his last two movies I have going, just very quickly?
Sure.
Brian Callies, who's now become my fourth and probably final partner in life.
Mm-hmm.
He did all the films I did, starting with Funny Business. He introduced me to one with his partner called Holding Pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And his partner's name is Tom Desch. And this is a film they've been working on for 20 years.
Oh, my.
It's the story of the efforts to build the third Chicago airport on the south side.
Oh, how interesting.
And it is very, very good.
Oh, how interesting.
These guys have been dedicated. They've been shooting this story for 20 years.
Oh.
What a story it is. I'll just tell you one quick thing.
Sure.
The state now has 70% of the land purchased
to
make that thing a reality.
Wow.
So we believe, and I came on as an EP to help them get final funding to wrap up the movie. And we're going to have it done by June of this year.
Oh,
and it's
fantastic.
It's going to premiere at the Chicago Historical Society.
Fantastic. Oh, my God. You're going to have to fill me in more on that when you get to town. John.
And one final thing. I have one other huge movie, Brian, coming out in December of this year.
Uh-huh.
And I can't tell you what it is, but it's already 100% funded. It's going to play internationally, and it's a huge Chicago story. That's all I can tease.
The Rick Kogan story? Never mind. John, yeah, you were going to retire. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is his retirement. He goes, Rick, I'm going to go out to California and take it easy. John, I'm so glad you're still working. I'm so glad you're still as wonderfully active and curious as you have ever been. It's been a pleasure, and it's an ongoing pleasure to know you and an ongoing pleasure to see your work. So take care.
Thanks.
Safe travels coming in. And again, Funny Business, a black comedy. We'll screen around noon on Saturday, February 21st. Go to chicagohistory.org. Sign up. It's free. John, take care of yourself, pal.
Thanks, Rick.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Take care. See ya.